forget the day when all the burdens my soul rolled away. It made me happy and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul rolled away. It made me happy, glad and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me.
Years ago, when out in sin, I had no hope, no peace within. Down on my knees, in agony, I prayed to Jesus, and he gladly set me free.
Well, I never shall forget the day when all the burdens
of my soul
rolled away. Somebody say, yes, he is. He's everything to us, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Isn't it good to love the Lord? Isn't it good to know that he loves you? What a privilege it is to be in the house of God. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet him in the name of the Lord. Tell him you're glad to see him in church on Saturday night. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. The Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a little bit while we look at our prayer request tonight. Amen. What a privilege it is to be in church. I believe we're going to have a great time here tonight. It's just camp meeting all over again, isn't it? Amen. I want to pray for Sonia Babb. She's in the hospital. They're asking that we would remember her in prayer tonight. Also, Brother Kenneth Yance has been very sick. He's looking at knee replacement surgery in the next few days. So they're asking that we would pray on his behalf. Also, I want to pray for Sister Linda and Brother Jerry Phillips, both not feeling well, unable to be in the service tonight. So let's pray for those folks, that the Lord would be mindful of them. Brother Joel Moyer sends this in to please pray for my father, Ted Moyer. He's been having a lot of dizzy spells. He's fallen in the last little bit. He has sugar diabetes. He's going for the doctor for some checkups, going to the doctor for some checkups. Pray for healing. Brother Moyer sends that in. He's asking that we would remember his father in prayer. So let's remember that prayer request tonight as we pray. Sister Martha Ann says that Sister Anna Allen and her husband went back to her brother Wesley's bedside in South Carolina. Wesley has had a drastic decline in the last few days. Please pray for Wesley and Brother Wade and Sister Anna's strength as they stay there at his bedside once again. So let's remember all those requests as we pray tonight. Also, Sister Martha Ann says to pray for her for traveling mercies as she's going to be traveling to Tallahassee, Florida, to be with the family. So let's remember her as she's there for the next few days. God will be with them. Brother Jonathan Baker wants us to pray for Sister Baker, also Brother Baker, having severe leg and back pain. So let's pray for those needs tonight. Charity Lawson sends us in asking for prayer for Judy Bell. She is the mom of a co-worker of my daughter. While at an auction today, a gun that was being shown went off, and Judy was shot. The bullet entered her left jaw, shattering it, traveled under her teeth, exited out of her right jaw. Please pray for the surgical team that is performing the surgery and for her recovery. So we just commit that need unto the Lord tonight as we pray. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about, we believe we're serving a prayer-answering God, don't we? We know that He's more than able to meet whatever we ask Him. He's a loving Savior, and I praise Him tonight for all that He's done for this local assembly. He has done wonderful, miraculous things for probably in every person in every pew have got a testimony of what God's done for you. Do you love Him with all your heart tonight? Could we stand once again as we pray tonight? Just commit these things unto the Lord that God would just be mindful. Brother Skip Walker, would you come tonight? Pray over these needs. Let's take them to the Lord. Invite the presence of the Lord into this service tonight as we pray. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Let's all just pray together. Dear Lord, we're so thankful for a city of refuge to come to, Lord. And during the week, we just seem like have a battle after battle. But we're here, Lord God, to be cleansed from anything that's held on to us or anything that shouldn't be there, Father. Lord, you see these requests, Lord. Many serious things. The girl shot there, Lord. What a tragedy, Lord. Pray you just be with her and help her, Father. Be with each request that come in. People rely on this church through the internet and different places that we might get a prayer through to you, Lord. And we know you hear them. We know, Lord, you know all about them. You're just looking for that faith, Father. And we believe there's, like our brother Terry says, there's faith in the building, Lord. We believe it's here, Lord. We pray you'd be with the speaker tonight, Lord, that you'd anoint him in a mighty way. Give us what we have need of to go one more mile, to go one more victorious mile, Lord. Not just dragging through, but help us, Lord, to overcome ourselves. That's where the battle is, Lord. We all know that, Lord. Please help us to overcome us, Lord, ourselves, Father. And be with us tonight. Reveal your word. Speak to us in the name of the Lord Jesus. We ask it. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. You give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here tonight, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have each and every one of you here. All those that are streaming the service, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Understand we've got a lot of folks from down in Middle Tennessee area that was here maybe for the wedding today and you stayed over for the service. We're glad to have all of you. All of our visitors, God bless you. We're just glad to have you tonight. Give our visitors a nice hand tonight if you would. Let's sing this song tonight. He could have called 10,000 angels to deliver him and set him free. But aren't you glad he was willing to pay the ultimate price for your salvation? Do you appreciate it with all your heart? He's the best thing that ever happened to you. I promise you that. Let's sing you tonight with all of our heart.
They bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where He prayed. They led Him through the streets in shame. spat upon the Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, crucify Him, He's to blame.
Oh, but He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy.
Him and they cursed Him and mocked His holy name, and all alone He suffered everything.
Oh, yes, He could have
finished.
died alone for you and me.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and give him a real good hand clap of praise tonight. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Let's sing that little chorus. We're going to wear it out before Brother Joel Brown gets here to sing it. Is he here tonight? Brother Joel Brown, he's not here tonight. All right. Good. We'll sing it. He can't hear it. No, he's probably working tonight. But let's sing that little chorus again. You know, we're living in an age of another crucifixion. The word for this hour is being crucified today. Do you believe that? People are turning against it. They're saying everything they can. They're not believing. But I tell you what, a real believer, it just makes you dig in that much deeper. You're a believer and you can't help it. You're a believer and you don't want to help it. Are you glad you're a believer tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Give him one more hand clap of praise tonight.
If anybody asks you where I'm going.
Oh, you need to sing it with all your heart.
Where I'm going. Going so soon. Ask you.
Oh, they're gonna ask you
where I'm going.
Where are you going?
Where this bride's going someday soon.
This is what you're gonna say. I'm going up yonder. We're going up yonder. We're going. You get to go. Aren't you glad he counted you worthy? Blessed be the name of the Lord. God bless you. You're just singing so good tonight. I appreciate you with all my heart. You can be seated. Brother Justin Reagan, come give us a song tonight. Ever how you've got that put together, buddy, we'd like to hear you sing. Give Brother Justin a good hand tonight as he comes to sing. He had a song from Wednesday, but I don't believe he's here tonight, so maybe we'll get him in the morning or whenever he's here again. It's time to go on into the service. Are you excited to hear the word of the Lord? Are you excited to hear the word of the Lord? Let's stand tonight. Let's sing a little chorus as our pastor gets ready to come. Bring us the word of the Lord. Let's pray for him. God will give him strength. We'll just get exactly what we have need of out of this service tonight. Let's sing a little chorus, for he is holy. Brother Donnie gets ready to come. We know that we're serving a risen, holy Savior. Aren't you glad to be serving Him tonight? Do you love Him with all your heart? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise tonight if you love him. For he is yes, he is. Oh, sing it with all your heart.
Aren't you glad you know him that way? Amen. Let's turn to the book of Luke tonight, if you would. Chapter 9, verse 23. Harry, come and move his monitor for me. Back this way. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. We'll read verse 23 through verses 26. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his, whose? His cross. Not the cross of Jesus now. But if a man will come after him, let him deny himself and take up his cross. How often?
Daily.
And follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he would gain the whole world and lose himself? You understand what these poor, wretched people in this age are doing by living and satisfying and doing what they want to do? They're losing themselves. They will perish, be destroyed, and annihilated. Why? They're losing themselves. How are they losing it, though? By satisfying themselves. By living for self, enjoying self, and basically worshiping self. So by self-worship, you wind up losing yourself. So by denying yourself, you actually save yourself. Praise the Lord. If he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Let's bow our heads together and ask the Lord to speak to us tonight. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the opportunity that we once again could be together in the house of God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this great evening light that you've given to us in this end time. We're so grateful, Father, that we could be made partakers of the light of the Word of God. We ask tonight that you would help us, Lord Jesus. Would you speak to us from your Word? We know that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word. We know, Lord, that that word there that Paul used was not the Logos, but the Rhema. So it is the living article of the expression of the word. So we know it's more than just quoting quotes or more than just quoting scriptures, but it must take the Spirit of God to make that word live. So we ask that you would help us tonight. Lord, we've put forth the effort to come here. These people have come and they've got dressed and all that preparation that they've made. Lord, I've studied and tried to apply myself. The musicians have played. The songs have been sung. Now, Lord, we're asking you supernaturally that you would do something for us, Father. That you'll take the word and make it something that'll quicken our lives and change us. Grant it, dear Father, we pray in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. I want to speak to you again tonight on the king and the gallery. So we've been dealing with this series, and I think this is about part 19 or something like that. We know that there's two kings in this age that are desiring to be worshipped. One of them is the king which is eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. And the other one is an imposter. He is the god of this evil age. He is a god which cannot create. He cannot make. He cannot give life. He has no heaven to give you when you leave this place. As a matter of fact, he does not love you. He does not care for you. He don't care that for you. So you give everything that you are for him, and whenever it's all said and done, you and him both will go to hell and be destroyed. Now, I don't understand people wanting to serve that kind of a king, but yet they do. And there's definitely the majority of the 7 billion people who live on the face of the earth tonight who are serving that king. But that's not our choice, is it? Our choice is to serve the only one who can create, the only one who has life, the only one who has power to deliver and set us free. And yet both of those kings have a kingdom. One is the kingdom of light and the other is the kingdom of darkness. Each person sitting in this building tonight, every person living on this habitable part of the earth tonight is serving one of those kings, even though many of them say they don't even believe in God. Yet they are still serving one of those kings. And we know that the great king, the Lord God, is taking his people into the gallery by which he alone has the ability to take her into the place of divine fellowship. He takes her there in the place of redemption, reconciliation. He gives her the power by which she is redeemed, and that is from the power of his own life. He brings her to a place to where she is able to have that fellowship with him and enjoy that which was only in his thinking before the foundation of the world. Now, to do that, we know that love is based upon the very character of the one who projects it. We know the kingdom of Satan is not established upon love, but it's established upon jealousy and hatred and envy and strife. The devil doesn't love his own children. He doesn't love his own subjects. But he comes with the very foundation of that kingdom, which comes upon reviling or coming against the very kingdom of Michael, which was Christ. So in that kingdom is everything that is opposite to what God is. But the very essence of what we know of love is eternal life. That love is based upon self-sacrifice. And we know that Jesus quoted it, one of the most famous scriptures, of course, in the New Testament, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The projection of that scripture shows to us the very epitome of what God's heart love is, and that is based upon loving others, and this is exactly what eternal life is. Now, in this age we're living, we know that the Antichrist is trying to get the mindset of the people based upon self-love and self-worship. The people 50 years ago, 100 years ago, would have never allowed the Antichrist to move in the temple of God and show himself that he is God. But every day as the fight for liberty and rights, so-called, grows under the auspices of democracy, then the people every day are becoming more in the mindset of what they want and what their rights are. And I want to do this and I want to do that and I want to do something else. And I don't want no preacher or nobody else telling me how I should live. I don't want nobody telling me what I can and cannot do. You understand? That's people's rights. You know what that's going to lead to? That's going to lead to the Antichrist sitting in the temple of God showing himself that he is God. And why will the people
of the age accept that because of self-exaltation and self-worship. So they will allow another being to sit in the temple of God and say, I'm God. Because they themselves are being led day by day by day by self-rights, by what they want to do other than what God wants them to do. And it's leading them to the place of self-worship. Come on, children. And yet there is at the same time a gospel that is being preached on the earth that proclaims what? Self-denial. It proclaims to us that we put Jesus first, our family second, and ourself last. Now you can imagine how this goes over in the age of Laodicea when it's do what you want to do, believe what you want to believe, live the way you want to believe, but that will not get you to heaven. That will lead you straight to hell. So self-love is the opposite of what Christianity is based upon. So the very work of redemption has its basis upon self-denial. And we know that the Lord Jesus coming to the earth was the very epitome of God's heart. And this is one reason that the people did not recognize him, because the very heart of God was hid in the Old Testament. It was part of the mystery which could only be revealed in the person of Christ himself. So the very heart of God became manifest, and Jesus was the expression of the heart of God, as the person of the Antichrist in the last days will be the very expression of Satan, what he's wanted to be all along, and that is to be worshipped. So then if self-love has this about it, that it is based upon self-ego and self, all about me, what I want to do. You know, people are at that place to where they won't even go to church unless they're used. Well, they've got to sing, they've got to play the guitar, it's not really about the quality of the word, it's about them being recognized. So, you know, the quality of the word, they'll trade the quality of the word off any day out of the week as long as they're made over and recognized and praised. And it shows there's something wrong with that individual. It should be the greatest thing in our life of being able to find an assembly where we can go where the word of God is preached, whether or not I play the guitar. Where the word of God is preached and preach me into a body change, whether or not I play the drums or I ever sing a special song. What difference does that make as long as I'm hearing a word that is going to change me? But you see, friend, folks are so based upon self-worship and ego that if they're not uplifted and talked about and praised and adored, they are not going to hang around. Come on now. But you know what? We also realize that Satan then will have a place where they can go, because people will make a second vice president and a third vice president and a 14th guitar player and a 45th organ player in order to give everybody an office and a position in a church. I don't want a position myself. I'm not even here because I want to preach. I don't want to be a preacher. I don't want to be a pastor. I do want to be a Christian. I do want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what I want more than anything else. I want to be ready for the rapture more than I want to be a preacher. I'll tell you one thing. One of these days, my job of a preacher will expire when my body is changed, but my eternal life will never end. That means more to me than anything else in this world. Now, sin is essentially then based upon egotism or upon self-worship, so it is the very opposite of what Christianity comes to, because the Lord Jesus, when we were not able to go to him, he was willing to come down here and lay aside what he was to become who we needed him to be. So then we see that what God is doing is trying to bring us back to a restoration of the divine character that Adam had in the beginning. And as I said before, whatever it was that Adam had, and however deep it was in his being, he was able to fall from that. So God wants to restore us further back than what Adam ever was, because Adam definitely walked away from what he was. But there is a seal on the earth tonight that is sealing the people of God, and you'll never get away from it. Amen. The thing of it is, you don't want to. So the entire work of redemption is based upon what? The very epitome of the foundation of God's love, which is putting others above yourself. So it's the central fact, historical fact, also that Christianity must be that very same basis. So when the Lord Jesus says that if a man really loves me, he will deny himself, he will take up his cross, and he will follow me daily. Now, in every age, this, of course, has not been well received. But you imagine in this age, when it is the age of people's rights. Now, why is the homosexual agenda and all the other agendas are going over, even though they are by far the minority? Many of these moves are the minority, but why are they having such a voice? It is the pre-tribulation anointing on Laodicea that is emphasizing people's rights. So if a man wants to marry a man, that's his right. If a woman wants to marry a woman, that's his right. But what about my rights if I don't want to have to marry him? What about your rights if you don't want to have to give up your church to go? We'll find out before long our rights don't matter anyhow. It's what they want that really matters. Why? Because that is the anointing that is getting on the people. It is a pre-tribulation anointing, getting them ready for the move of the Antichrist. But if that's moving on them, there's got to be something moving on the bride. Oh, hallelujah. And what is it? It is the anointing of denying yourself and putting Jesus first and putting His Word above anything and everything that's in this world. And of course, we look like a bunch of nuts when we do it. But at least we're threaded to the right bolt. That's one good thing. Now watch. In Philippians chapter 2 verse 7, I want you to notice Paul speaking about the Lord Jesus. He said, He made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Now this is the very opposite, of course, again, of the Laodicea anointing that people want to make a reputation for themselves. We find it in the message that preachers want to be the biggest preacher or have the biggest church, or this singer wants to be the most famous singer and all this and other. That's the very opposite of the way our Lord Jesus done. What difference does it make if we preach to 5 or 500 or 5,000? If we're in the will of God, that's what matters more than anything else. Why should my reputation? Well, I want a big name. I want a big this. I want to be like this. I don't want to make a reputation for myself. I want to be a servant. I don't want to be some type of something. Come on, children. You understand? He says He made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant. Who was this? This was the very Logos Himself. If anybody could have had a reputation, it could have been Him. But once He came in the personification of human flesh, He wanted to absolutely humble flesh to the place that it would come and realize we would know we cannot trust in flesh. We cannot trust in the value of what we think reputation and big name and this and other. It means absolutely nothing to God. Notice in verse 8, being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now only, listen to me, only an innocent victim could actually become a victim of death. Every one of us was not a victim of death. Death was something that we deserved by our natural birth. But He actually became a victim of death. Why was He a victim? Because He was totally, absolutely sinless. He humbled Himself. Oh my. Notice again Jesus said in Luke 9:23, and He said to them all, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself. Now in saying this, He sets forth to this principle to us, that in order to follow the Lord Jesus, we have to deny ourselves. So it shows us that the Lord Jesus and ourselves are exact opposites. Now, if you and Jesus were the same thing, you'd never have to deny yourself to follow Him. Now, what are we talking about when we're talking about denying ourselves? It's the unregenerate part of us which is left unconverted. And we know when we get the new birth, it starts from the soul and it works from the inside out. And He leaves us in this mortal body which is still yet unregenerated, which has not been fully redeemed, right? That's why we can have sickness and disease. Even your spirit, you can get down and weary and depressed and so on because your spirit and your flesh is not redeemed. So this is the part that we need the work of the cross to work on. My soul does not need a cross. Your soul does not need a cross. But my body needs a cross. My spirit needs a cross. My pride, my whatever it is, that is the part that needs a cross. My soul has now been redeemed by the power of God. I've done stepped across the breach. I'm already in the millennium in that sense of the word. I'm already into eternity. Hallelujah. But my body is still here in time. As a matter of fact, it's the greatest enemy that I've got. I don't worry too much about the devil. Donnie's my enemy. The Bible tells me to resist the devil and he'll flee from me, but it don't tell me Donnie will. The Bible don't tell you resist Greg and Greg will flee from you. Resist Tim and Tim will flee from you. No matter where you go, Jim is there with you. You're packing him around. That's your problem. Oh my. Then self, that self that we are to deny is the part which is not renewed or that part which has not been transformed by the power of God. Whenever we look at barren bearing a cross. What is it? What is it to bear a cross? It can be a multitude of many things. And as I said a couple weeks ago, your cross will actually change as you go on in time. Sometimes it might be a job situation that God gives you and allows you to work in a situation because of your testimony. Now remember, your cross is not because you've got a bad flaw. Your cross is not you being persecuted for your mistakes or your faults that you have. Your cross is whatever that was generated by the wisdom of God to allow something which will humble your flesh and bring it into submission to the Word. It can be a high-tempered wife. Uh-oh. All my amens went haywire. It can also be a high-tempered husband. Well, I'll let you think on that and then I'll read it to you. Now, a refusing to please ourselves. So the cross will be that which is given to us, which will make our flesh subject to the Word of God. Now, because, of course, it's unregenerate, it must still live under the law of sanctification. The soul being born again is not controlled just by saying, you better quit this, and you better quit that, and you better quit that, and you better quit that. That's the legalism under sanctification to the unregenerate heart. The soul which has been converted does not live under the fear of sanctification. Well, I better do this. I'll be lost if I don't. I better quit this. I'll go to hell. The soul that's born again does not live under that. But this here still needs to be scared sometimes. This right here still needs a good whooping every now and then. About every day out of the week, 4 or 5 times a day. Now, then we are not the choosers of our cross, because you know how we are. We would all choose a cross which would be highly polished. Your cross, more than likely, is not going to be made like this Hammond organ here, which is made around 1964, 65, according to the serial number. It's made with a bunch of walnut veneer, finished in Hammond, Indiana, come through professional washing and sanding and all that sort of thing, sprayed with a real high-endurance lacquer finish, real smooth and real slick. Your cross ain't going to be that way. Your cross is going to have splinters. It's going to have pain. It's going to have agony. It's going to be things that you don't like. Your cross is not going to be made to look like a piece of furniture. Oh my. If we could choose our cross, I wonder what it'd be. If you had a right to choose your burden, what if you'd pick your brother's cross? Because in your mind, you think, man, that wouldn't be nothing to bear. That wouldn't be hard at all. But remember, you're only seeing part of it. There might be a whole lot more to it than what you realize. And it's the same with our own. So we are not cross choosers. We are cross bearers. They say, Brother Donnie, what's this got to do with worship? Absolutely everything. You see, our cross is actually the channel by which we are able to present to God our bodies a living sacrifice. And the word there is actually rendered worship. As we come to Him and obey a life living by the Word of God, we are actually the only ones on the earth that are really worshiping God in the right approach, because worshipers bring the sacrifice. We're not bringing a sacrifice for sin. That's already met. Our sin price, our sin debt has already been paid by the Lord Jesus. But when we worship, we do bring sacrifice. We raise our hands, a sacrifice of our lips, but we bring most of all, every day of our life, we present our bodies a living sacrifice every day. And by doing that, guess what you're doing? Worshiping. Worshiping. You understand what the folks are going to do tonight that's drinking? They're going to be giving their body to the devil. They're worshiping. Sitting there smoking, doing all the things they're going to do. What are they doing? They're bringing their body subject to the life of the nature that's in them. They will take on the personification of alcohol. And they may come in all sad with the Saturday evening blues. Come in and sit down and give me whatever it is they drink. They drink one and they feel a little better. I've never drunk, so I really don't know what I'll do. It's just what I've seen it do on others. And they drink another and they go to feeling lighter. Another and they're feeling lighter. Before long, they change. My, they change, or they're a different person. And then they life at us. We come in here and drag in here sometimes on Sunday night, and Brother Louie has to pump and pump and pump to try to get you up from the troubles of life and the cares of life. But all of a sudden it goes to feeling pretty good in here. Praise the Lord, you go to clapping your hands and worshiping God. My, all of of a sudden you go to get to drinking. Amen. On that new wine of the Holy Ghost. And you go to smiling, go to worshiping, and you leave out of here. Praise God. Wasn't it good to be in church? Somebody pass that there and say, well, look at them holy rollers. Look at them people there shouting and praising God. Well, they can do it for their God. Why can't we do it for our God? They are worshiping. Why shouldn't we worship? Now, I want you to notice what Jesus says here in Luke 9:23. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Now, not your wife, not your child, not your pastor, but yourself. Let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Now, you're not to cripple yourself. You're not to make something out of your life other than what God has ordained for you to be. So you are to take up your cross, which is not made by you. It's actually made by God himself. Not your neighbor's cross, not your family or whoever more. Now you realize that there is a difference between salvation and discipleship. I believe there are no doubt thousands and probably even millions of people around the world in this day that are saved, but they're not disciples. A disciple takes up his cross. A saved man don't want nothing to do with the cross other than the cross of Jesus. This is why you preach your preachers preaching today on the cross of Christ, but nothing about their cross. Oh my, now you're going to get quiet on me, huh? Now watch, these are not my words, these are the words of the Lord Jesus. If any man will follow me and be a disciple of mine, then this is an absolute requirement. He must take up his cross and follow me. Notice this, Brother Abraham says, if Jesus was considered a holy roller himself, he died on the cross as a heretic. As the early church was considered a bunch of nitwits. Now let me ask you something. Is the majority of Christendom in this day considered nitwits? Is it a reproach in America to be called a Christian? To believe in the cross of Christ? To believe in the blood? To believe in heaven? To believe in hell? Is it a reproach to believe there's three gods? But is there a reproach in being baptized in the name of the bridegroom? Is there a reproach to believe there is one God? Is there a reproach to believe that God has sent a prophet in this last day? Now we go to separating those who are saved from those who pack a cross. Notice what Reuben says. He died on the cross as a heretic. So do you think it would have been different for you?
No.
If Jesus died on the cross and was considered a heretic, if you pack your cross, what do you think people in this age is going to think of you? That you're a great, wonderful person and you're just, oh my, there's just nobody like you in the world. How could they think about him that way and look at you? Oh my, my, they're exactly the same life of Christ. They're living just like Christ and they think highly of you and hate him. That makes no sense. Oh my. The early church was considered a bunch of nitwits. Paul told Agrippa, in the way that's called heresy, so worship. So worship I, the God of our fathers. I'm glad tonight to join with and say, in the way that's called holy rollers, crazy, nonsense, idiotic worship. Is this idiotic worship in the day we live? The people listen to the tape are thinking, what is he saying? Is that considered idiotic? No. It's accepted. We could have a TV program from right here and stream it on the world and people say, there's nothing different about them. So if all the sisters cut her hair off, come to church in pants, and I get up in the morning and preach in shorts and a tank top, I'm a cool brother. I mean, I'm the man.
Come on. Preach it, brother.
But if I blast that from one end to the other, I'm looked down on, I'm considered stupid and foolish, and so are you. Why? Because it's heresy. It's a way of idiocy. People think, my, where do these people come from? Heaven? Heaven, another world? What planet are they from? It's not exactly a planet. It's a dimension. Amen. It's not a planet. It's another dimension. Oh my, listen, the prophet said, I worship Jesus Christ and the power of His resurrection by the power of the Holy Ghost. Again, he said, I believe in the real, genuine, Spirit-filled Holy Ghost Word of God, being preached in power and demonstration. Oh my, for that's the thing that saved me. That's the thing that's brought me thus far. That's the thing that helped me when the doctor said I was dying. That's the thing that saved me in the hour of my death. That's the thing that'll resurrect me. Amen. That's the thing that I'll go to heaven with. If I ever get there, I'll have to go back, because I don't know nothing else but that. It was that that set me free. It was that that opened my eyes to the Word of God. It will be that that will change my body. Oh my, he said, no, Jesus and Him crucified, and that's all. If He's crucified, then it crucifies my flesh with His. And I'm dead to the things of the world. Again, he says, I want to be marked by God. I want to be His bondservant. I want to be so in love with Jesus that all the things of the desirable in my life of this world will be crucified. I'll be more like Jesus each day. I'll be so much like Him till others will see Jesus in me. I'm not sure what you saw in this message, but that's what I saw. A lot of folks are seeing His humanity and they're looking for His mistakes and this and that and the other. What pointed out to me was how great Jesus was in the man's life. How recently has it been that somebody thought you was Jesus? These folks that are criticizing the message and calling Brother Branham a false prophet, how long has it been since many of their own family members thought there's the Lord Jesus? When you walked there, then call me up, okay? Watch, he said, the church tonight needs a soft hybrid something, not a soft hybrid something, rather soft and flabby like the church is. Make a confession, be baptized, you're a Christian. To be a Christian is self-denial. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow me daily. Today it's so-so. Look, friends, this is 1963. What would he say about it today? When our preachers are becoming so soft, they don't want to offend nobody. Don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Well, I can't preach on this because that'll hurt Brother So-and-so. He pays a lot of tithes. I can't preach on that because Sister So-and-so, she's mixed up in there. Before long, we're not going to be able to preach on nothing. Because if we do, we're going to hurt somebody's feelings. I think we need to handle this word and take the gloves off and handle this like a sword. Let it cut where it will. If it hurts you, if it hurts me, if it hurts my family, so be it. Listen, he said, today it's so soft. People call themselves Christians when it used to mean death to confess Christ. Death. I wonder how many there'd be left in Happy Valley if there's a sign tacked up on the door there. My trips to China, every time I went there, I knew I faced the possibility of arrest. It's a very scary feeling. Whenever you go and have meetings in people's apartments, the Communist Party will pay your neighbor so much to turn you in for having church. Whenever I went and had meetings in a hotel room, I wouldn't stay in one hotel room over 2 or 3 days at a time. Wouldn't move around so they wouldn't be able to catch us. On every floor, there was a guard. Soon as you come up to the second floor, third floor, fifth floor, whatever it was, the elevator doors open, there's a guard right in front of you. He watches every person that goes in and out every door, knowing exactly where you go. Now you think, if that was so here in the morning, and the police were sitting out there and said, we may arrest you if you go to church in there, would some of y'all turn and go back home or go to Walmart or make a trip to Dollywood tomorrow and say, well, I think I'll come, and the pressure's eased up some. Why? That's Laodicea. That's America. Soft, lazy. We don't want to cost nothing. Oh, we'll go to church when it's convenient. Clap our hands when it's convenient. Praise God when it's convenient. That is not a Christian. A Christian is self-denial. Oh, hallelujah. Notice this, Jesus says in Luke 9:24, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Luke 14:26. If any man come to me, now can you imagine the Lord Jesus, I reiterate this to you again, the Lord Jesus actually spoke more about our cross than he did his own. Why? Why would he do that if it had no value? If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters. Now keep this in its setting. The word here means love less. Yea, his own life also. He cannot be my disciple. Now Jesus never said the man couldn't be a Christian. But there's a difference in being a Christian and being a disciple. Every disciple is a Christian, but every Christian isn't a disciple. What is a Christian, so-called in this age? Somebody that's saved from sin. But what is a disciple? One who impersonates their teacher. Glory. One who takes the teaching of their master and they don't just repeat it and say what their master said, but they live the way their master lived. That is a disciple. Oh, praise the Lord. Notice Jesus said, he cannot be my disciple. Cannot be. This is the same man now that says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But here he differentiates between people receiving salvation and becoming tribulation material to be cleansed under the purging of the sixth seal from those who are his disciples who walk under the anointing of the seventh seal. You see, six is unfinished. Seven is finished. And if you have received the seal, hallelujah, then you are burst under the very breath of God. You're not serving God out of fear. You're not serving God because your mama said so, your daddy said so. You're serving God because you are an attribute of God and you're born by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And your soul has been redeemed. Oh, thank the Lord. Let me read this to you from history. I'll put it up on your head. The board, brother, spit it up on the screen so you can read it with me. When the Roman Empire crucified a criminal or captive, the victim was often forced to carry his cross part of the way to the crucifixion site. Carrying his cross to the heart of the city was supposed to be a tacit admission that the Roman Empire was correct in the sentence of death imposed on him. An admission that Rome was right and he was wrong. So when you bore your cross through the streets of Jerusalem or Cappadocia or wherever it rose, or Rome itself, and you bore that cross upon you, you, by this similitude, were saying, Rome is right. And I am wrong. And I bear that image in my flesh. I bear the cross of Rome. Now friends, to us today, we put glory on the cross. And there is. But in the first century, you imagine the struggle they had trying to see any glory in the cross. According to the book of Deuteronomy, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. They saw their uncles, their loved ones, their friends. They saw the streets going up to Jerusalem and Bethpage and different places in their homeland all through Palestine, littered with crosses of hundreds of people. For them to see any glory, any honor in this cross, for them to identify with the cross when Jesus would mention this word to them, it was agony, it was shame, it was reproach. It was not a symbol that they wore on a necklace on their chain around their neck. It wasn't gold and silver and pewter and titanium. It was a reproach. It was the worst death you could die. The lowest Roman citizen never had to go by the way of crucifixion. Crucifixion was deemed so low, no citizen of Rome ever had to die on a cross. It was for the lowest scum of the earth. Hallelujah. You imagine the reproach he took on himself to be looked upon as scum. The lowest of criminals. And yet he never done one thing wrong. What was it? The very act of humiliation. Watch it this way. Ausonius, which is one of the Roman writers, calls it the extremity of torture. Cicero, many of you have heard the writer Cicero. Cicero said the most cruel and horrid suffering. When Ignatius was going to be exposed to the fury of wild beasts for the name of Christ, he cries, "Now I begin to be a disciple." Notice how these people identified suffering for Christ. To them, it was a crowning glory. And today we grumble and bellyache and we don't like this and we don't like that. If everybody don't love us and we ain't driving Mercedes and Cadillacs and everything around, we ain't, well, we're suffering for, you know, being a Christian. Oh my, can you imagine them first Christians, fifth century Christians, whenever they were so despised, they were so hated, the very name Christian itself was come up with by the very aspect of them making fun of them. The word Christian, they did not use it in the beginning as an initial bragging point upon these people. They used it as a slur. It would be as a racial term today or some kind of slur. And this is what they were called in a slurring way. They were called Christians when the Romans come and they retitled it and rephrased it in Latin, called them Christianos. Then they begin to rephrase it. Peter is the only writer in the New Testament that actually began to refer to the people of God as Christians, because it was a term of slur. It was so radical. It was so hated. And yet these Christians bore this cross every day. And here we are, we've got to have everything so easy. My, it's 3 degrees warmer in church tonight than what I like it. I don't think I'll go back. I'm being reproached for Christ. My mascara running church. It was so hot. Oh, I'm suffering terrible persecution. One of my 5 eyelashes fell out. Oh my, some of you are persecuted because of your big long flopping tongue and your jaws, not because you're a child of God. You're persecuted on Facebook because you got your nose in everybody's business and you want to make that your cross. Don't you call that garbage a cross. Now won't you listen, friend, how Jesus, this is very serious. Jesus said, "Whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot, cannot be my disciple." Now, wait a minute, I thought God was love. I mean, under that auspices of God being love, can't everybody just do whatever they want to do and live any way they want to live? And God just accepts us all in? And you mean there's actually going to be people he's going to turn out? Really? Y'all believe that? Are y'all got a hate in you? No. Of course not. You see love in the real way. Real love is corrective. How could I claim to be a preacher and stand up here and know this? You do something wrong and I know it'll cause you to be lost. How could I say I love you and hold my peace? How can any preacher say he loves you and hold his peace because of his salary? I don't want to hurt so-and-so. I don't want to hurt none of your feelings either, but I'd rather hurt you now than you to be hurt hereafter. You see, salvation means coming to his cross and accepting the work which he did on his cross. But that's not discipleship. To be a disciple is to go beyond the stage of salvation and take up your cross and learn how to worship under the burden of your cross. You see, it's not just bearing a cross. It's bearing it with the right attitude. I don't know about you, but I bore my cross as being a Christian down through different times in my life. It's changed, of course. And I bore my cross for many, many years. I'm 59 years old, been serving the Lord since I was 12, so I've been a Christian for a long time. Been preaching since I was 18, so most of my life. But I bore a cross most of my life. But a lot of times I bore it with an attitude. I realize I'm probably the only one in the building that's ever done that, but y'all pray for me. Y'all pray for me that I'll get closer to God so you dear little darlings can go on to heaven. But since I don't figure that I am, there might be somebody out on the internet or something, so y'all just tolerate this while I preach it to me and them other four people out there, okay? Now, whenever Christ is professed, whenever he is accepted on the basis of the work of his cross, which is where the majority of Christendom today, well, they all point to the cross of Christ, the cross of Christ, the cross of Christ, the cross of Christ. Those that have pulled away from the message, what are they pointing to? The cross of Christ, the cross of Christ, the cross of Christ. And that's well and good, but that don't make you a disciple. All that does is save you from the power of sin, but it does not bring you into intimate fellowship with the Lord to where you can call him as Mary did, Rabboni. After he called her name, he didn't go out there and call Cephas' name, but he called who? The disciples. Go tell my brothers that I have risen from the dead. Do you understand the call of the resurrection is the voice of Jesus to his brothers, not everybody. Oh my. You realize Jesus had already told his disciples in Matthew chapter 5 verse 13 that they were the salt of the earth. Notice this, he says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Salt of the earth. You see, salt was a valued product in this day. As a matter of fact, a soldier received part of his wages in the form of salt. So the saying that has become common in the English language, we don't use it so much in our country, but for many, many centuries it was used, he's not worth his salt, was from that very thing, because the very words come from the same Greek word, so it was worth his salt. So salt and savior. Now Jesus likens his people to being salt. What does salt do? It saves, but salt also burns. Anybody ever have a wound or something and you pour salt in it? Your old grandma, great grandma had all kinds of remedies and all that sort of thing, and they'd pour salt in a wound. Now why would they do that? Because salt has a cleansing, and salt would kill. And you ever say, oh, that feels so good. Ah! Well, that's the way it is sometime with preaching. We leave. Ah! Thank you, Lord, for going to church. Ah! I feel so good, I'm hurting from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, but it's getting all this corruption out of me. It's killing all the disease. Amen. I feel like an open wound and an open sore, but I'll be better tomorrow. Hallelujah. Oh my. But salt is a preservative. So I wonder what will happen when all the salt's gone from the earth. He that now letteth will let till he, the bride, the church, Christ, be taken out of the way. And whenever the salt is gone, it all goes bad. I realize you think you're not doing a whole lot, but I'm going to tell you one thing. Your presence on the earth is keeping the tribulation from setting in. Oh, hallelujah. So it's a preservative. And the reason it's not any worse today is because you're here. And your presence on the earth will only allow it to go so far, because the salt in this day is so powerful. The powers of darkness can only press against the salt so much. And if it gets very close, it'll get burned. Because the salt has such a powerful effect. And one other thing I like about salt is that salt creates thirst. Y'all ever eat salty cashews or salty peanuts or salty nuts? And what's the next thing you want after that? Marshmallows? Big piece of apple pie? Saltine crackers? Come on, children, what do you want? You want something to drink. You realize that's what salt does. Now you notice Jesus likening how the stages of discipleship go to where a person is no longer just saved, but they themselves become a savior. I know this might be a little bit heavy for you, but I don't want to just be saved. I want to become part of the work of reconciliation. I want to be thirsty. I want to be so connected with the Savior that people can see Christ in me, a true disciple, and I make them thirsty for what I've got. Amen. Now, I can't give it to them, but I can sure point them to where I got mine. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice this. Brother Rem goes on to say, what a mix-up in the people we've got today. Think that Christianity is one of the softest things. All that is, put her name on a book, have somebody to sprinkle them or something another, give the minister the right hand of fellowship, and that's all there is to it. That's not Christianity. Christianity is self-denial. Take up your cross daily. Follow him. Die out to the things of the world. Can I go on? Watch here, he's speaking about Moses. He said, notice he failed, miserably failed. Run into the desert for another 40 years while God had him on the backside of the desert, where he married this Ethiopian woman, Zipporah. She was high-tempered, and Moses was too. So I guess there was some little trouble on the backside of the desert once in a while. Don't turn your wife down because she's got a little temper. Maybe that's your cross. I guess we can all stand now and we'll be dismissed. Wow. So don't turn your wife down if she's got a temper. That might be your cross. God might have given it to you to kind of keep you lined up. Oh, my Lord, I'm going to go in the study here and finish this sermon. Now, you mean to tell me your poor wife has to deal with a temper because of you? Oh, my goodness, some of y'all got quiet on me. The first half of the quotes you liked, the second half you didn't care for. Oh, my goodness, so an individual in our family, or maybe in our church, or someone that we work with, and that individual may be contrary to us and constantly something there all the time, and God may have allowed that person to work in that spot beside you at the wherever you work at the plant or the rock pit or wherever it is, and allowed them to work right beside you and be natured the way they are to be part of your cross. And they're wondering themselves, God, why am I this way? I hate this. I hate I'm this way. And it's for your sake. Of course, the way we all look at it is, I'll tell you one thing. I hope they're saved. They've caused me so much trouble. They've caused me so much difficulty. I hope they're saved. You poor ignoramus. You're the reason they're the way they are. Now, won't you listen to this? He said, God might have given to kind of keep you lined up. Not to the other person now. God didn't give that temper to them to keep them lined up, but he gave it to them to keep you lined up. Don't anybody move. No, you'll give it away. Brothers, look straight ahead. Sisters, look straight ahead. Children, look straight ahead. Now, which one of us would want to choose this kind of cross? You don't need to raise your hand. To where your wife would have a temper, or your husband would have a temper, or a child would have a temper. Which one of your parents would not choose, if you could, by the nature of your children, that all would be quiet and meek and humble and never cause any problems? Any of you parents that have a loud mouth screaming, hollering, young, and it's got a temper like a buzzsaw, you're going to tell me you'd prefer that over a quiet, meek, humble? I'm going to say you took too much lower tab for church. Naturally, we'd rather have it. So part of our cross can be those in our family that we never chose to be that way, and yet God allowed it to happen. How do you know that God never let somebody be born in your family that was crippled, or somebody that had some type of disease or something to go on there in their life, that you say, God, I don't understand. What if that was given for you? Amen. Oh, my. Well, I can say right now, if I go much farther, I ain't going to have any old me's left. Amens have all quit, but this time. Once again, Brother Bam says in investments, let's think this morning that this is a special day that we're presented as business people to make an investment in Jesus Christ. To give up, be ready, and just forsake everything there is that's dear to this world, that we might find the treasures of heaven, as Jesus told him, the rich young ruler, come follow me and take up your cross. Not take up your popularity where everybody is saying, oh my, certainly doctor, come right here. Such a thing to have, oh, the deacon, you're fine. See, it's a cross. They might call you crazy. Heresy, as Paul, you can testify in the way that's called heresy. That's the way I worship the God of our fathers. See, we've had other men before us who had to make these decisions. You're nuts. You're crazy. You're out of your mind. But think of it. Now, there are places in the world, in Iran and Pakistan and different places of the world, where even some of our fellow believers are persecuted for being Christians. But for the most part, in Europe and most of Africa and America and Indochina and all those places, there's not any persecution for being a Christian. The real persecution would be from being a disciple. A follower of the teachings of our rabbi. Instead of exalting self-rights. Well, it's my right to cut my hair. It's my right to smoke. It's my right to do this. It's my right to do that. Notice again, he says, little Isaac with the wood laying on his back. And he said, now I love these words of Abraham. He said to his servants, you abide here. Maybe not in that tone of voice, that word. You wait here while the lad and I go yonder to worship. Now notice Isaac. Isaac is going yonder to worship. But Isaac is going under the load of his cross. He's going to worship, but he's going under the load of his cross. Because Abraham has brought the wood, right? And what does he do with the wood? Abraham does not carry Isaac's cross. The Lord Jesus will give you strength and he will give you courage. But my friend, he will not take your cross. He tells us to bear our cross. Oh, God, help us. Notice he says, I go yonder to worship and the latter now will return him in. How's he going to return if he's going up to kill him? How's he going to return? There you are. That's trust in God. Oh, he didn't know how it would be. That's the reason he could call it Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. He started up the hill, Isaac packing the wood, just the same as Christ packing the cross. This is the way to really worship. Us packing our cross. Not just his cross, our cross. And we go with the attitude under the load of our cross. I'm going to worship. I'm going to praise. I'm going to love if he takes my life. Oh my. When he got way up the winding mountain to the top and he got, oh my, on the mountaintop, way up the rugged, rocky country up in there where he was at. And he laid down some rocks and made an altar and there he laid the wood down and he set the fire. And Abraham grabs up Isaac and lays him on the altar. Within seconds he's fixing to take his life and the angel of the Lord stops him. Here comes Isaac packing his own cross. Oh God, let me be like Isaac. Let me pack my cross. Let me carry my load. And let me do it with the right attitude. Take away complaining and grumbling and griping. Oh my, I have to suffer reproach. So be it. If I've got to be made fun of and laughed at, so be it. May I pack my cross up this hill. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Yes. Now the preaching of the cross in this day, now this scripture doesn't really apply today to Christians so called. So you're going to tell me this scripture is not active? Oh, it's still active, all right. But now it's our cross. Amen. When we preach our cross, it is to them that perish foolishness. But to us, it's the power of God. This is the way we worship. Under the load. Watch in Galatians chapter 5 verse 11. Now brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross is ceased. Galatians 6:12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Now, for the most part, friends, in the age that we live, especially in America and Europe and the known parts of the world, civilized parts of the world, the crucifixion and the suffering and the shame of the cross, there isn't hardly any. Not for the cross of Jesus. But now your cross. Your sister's hair, your dress, your brothers don't look like women, your sisters don't look like men. We act different, we talk different, we preach different from the world. That is a cross. It is actually part of your crown, my sisters, with that long hair on your back. Notice in Philippians 2:6, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now bring this scripture in view. But made of himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Only someone sinless. Only someone sinless could death be an act of obedience. Philippians 3:18, for many walk of whom I have told you often, and I tell you even weeping, they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Enemies. Preachers who tell you today you can do anything you want to do and live any way you want to live. I don't care how much they smile. I was talking to a dentist the other day up in Illinois, and I was up on a hunting trip. He's an American citizen. Talking about church, asked me what I'd done, and I told him I was a preacher. So immediately, him and another guy that was sitting in the room there where I was, immediately turned on their religiosity and began to talk about God. And this dentist told me, he said, well, me and my wife watch this certain preacher on TV. He said, he's so positive. Always had some positive things to say. He was always so nice and so polite. What? I didn't say anything. What? What are you laughing about? So we went on talking a little bit, and he said, so these other guys, it's with you. I said, well, Daniel's has a business there in Johnson City. I said, Daryl is an evangelist. And he said, what's an evangelist? And I thought, a man in his 40s that's born and raised in America and don't even know what an evangelist is. Children, we're exposed to so much truth sometimes. I don't think we realize how much darkness is out here. Lord, have mercy. And I began to explain to him what an evangelist was and what a pastor did. The only thing he knew about doing his religion was on Sunday morning and being greatly encouraged and no doubt encouraged to remain the way he was. Not to change himself, to go ahead and drink his beers and curse and do this and that and the other, because that's what that type of preaching does. It does not point you to a crucified life with Christ where you worship under the load of your cross, but it points you back 2,000 years to where Jesus done this. And Jesus done that, and Jesus done something else. And if you have the life of Jesus, it will live out of you, and you will take up your cross and you'll follow Jesus if you're a disciple. Oh my. Amen. What's this in Hebrews 12:1? I'll tell you what, I found this the other day up in Illinois, and I about had a spell. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, both Greeks and Latins use the term cloud in their writings to describe a great number of persons or things. Now, I want you to notice that Paul says we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. The children of Israel were led by a cloud. Now we come to the New Testament and we are compassed about with a cloud, except that ain't the puffy kind. It ain't the white wispy kind that floats up in the sky. But we are compassed about, notice this, with a cloud, not clouds. But they are all gathered together. What is a cloud? A forming together of moisture. and it gathers together in a certain space up in the sky. It can only go so high and so low. And it is vapor or moisture that has come together by little water droplets, and they come together and they're so tiny and small, but yet they look like one great big thing and it forms a cloud. Paul said, we are compassed about with a great cloud of what? Water droplets, books, pamphlets. We are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. Can you imagine if you are a disciple, even when your life is over, you are still testifying of the keeping power of God. Amen. Look at what he says here, that we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. And the word witness, as used in the New Testament, signifies one who bears testimony, referring very frequently to a testimony borne by the life and conversation. These saints that have gone on have formed a cloud, and they are around you. What was the cloud for the children of Israel? To encourage them, to lift them up. When we preach about Jonah, we're talking about one of those droplets of water. When we preach about Moses, when we preach about Brother Branham, when we preach about Luke, we're preaching about droplets of water in the cloud. Oh, when I leave, if y'all preach my funeral, guess what? I join the big cloud. Oh, glory! Notice this term is used in the Grecian games. The Grecian games, as the arenas were built up, elevated so everybody could see. And Paul used this term, of course, several times in the New Testament. And he's liking the saints being down inside the arena. And they're battling and they're wrestling. And the cloud of witnesses are not people standing up there asking for their deaths. But the cloud of witnesses are formed around you as you're living in Laodicea. And you're going through the darkness and the trouble of this world. And if you could only hear them, they'll say, press the battle. Keep pressing the battle. Don't give up. It's closer now than when you first started. Oh, Lord, children, I believe sometimes that's what we need to hear is that cloud of witnesses. This is true disciples. You see, there's not any of those in there that's just Christian. Can you imagine somebody being in there that never could overcome sin, never could overcome lust, never could overcome drinking, never could overcome lying, and said, well, I don't know if y'all can make it or not. I had a hard time struggling myself 50 years ago. I don't know if y'all can do it in that evil age. Boy, I'm glad I don't live down in that day y'all live it. It must really be bad. I'll tell you one thing, there ain't one water droplet in that cloud that has that testimony. But every one of them in there, if we could hear them tonight. Now we know they're not physically there looking over at us because beyond the curtain of time. But they're there by representation. And God surrounds His believers with this cloud of witnesses. How many would there be? Millions. Millions times millions that are encompassed us. Glory to God. Is it any wonder that you and I would look all through the scripture and see the identification of clouds? Behold, the Son of Man was going to come in a cloud. And what was it in the shape of? A man's head. And how was the head turned? It wasn't looking up this way. It was looking down this way. What is it? The head's looking for the rest of the body. Oh, glory! It was a cloud of witness. We're not in the Grecian games. We're not in the arena of standing there, oh my, we're going to win a wreath. We're going, this is the game of life, as it were. And here we are wrestling with the beast of Ephesus. We're wrestling with the laziness of Laodicea and the softness of this age. But those in the seats are saying, death, 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 death. They're saying, you can do it. Oh, Daniel jumps up every now and then and says, you can do it, saints. You're part of that number I saw. Ezekiel jumping up. You're part of that number that I saw. Moses saying, I crossed the Red Sea. You all can challenge death. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Let me find a place to close. Oh, my. Notice this. Brother Abraham says it this way. Abraham didn't even have any great cloud of witnesses like we have today. For Abraham himself was a Chaldean, yet father of the Jews, but he was a Chaldean from the city of Ur. He was called out from among his people to walk into a strange land, but he could look around everywhere and there wasn't no cloud. Jacob could look around everywhere. There's just two or three drops. But can you imagine here you are in this day when millions times millions. Because every saint that goes, their representation, their life, they overcome. They lived a victorious life and they joined the cloud band. Praise be to God. Amen. They lived an overcoming life, and if we could hear that voice beyond the curtain of time, you imagine when Brother Branham was laying there and he looked over at his wife, honey, you awake? He said, he kind of sat up in the bed, put his hands behind his head. The old poster bed. I said, boy, if you're going to do anything for God, you better get to doing it. You're past 50. Oh, Lord. I used to hear him say that when I first come to the message, and I thought, poor old guy, past 50. Well, I always wanted to do something for God, he said, and I ain't never done nothing for God. And then a voice said, would you like to look past the curtain of time? Oh, he said, I believe it helped me so much. What's he going to do? Let him move past the arena of life. And all of a sudden, I come up through there. And there was bluegrass. It wasn't Kentucky bluegrass neither. It was six-dimension bluegrass. So he come across through there, and that was the bluegrass growing. All of a sudden, here come women. When he went down to hell, the first thing he saw was women. When he went to the sixth dimension, the first thing he saw was some of you sisters. Amen. Your cloud of witness was represented in theophanic form and beyond the curtain of time. Here come my sisters, my precious brother. They didn't have a hammer in their hand. You woman hater, you, I'll tell you one thing. They were so grateful that prophet of God preached the truth. Here come the brothers, my, our precious brother. Oh, have I died? No, you've been gathered with your people. Are all these Branhams? No, these are your converts that you've led to Christ. Hallelujah. You realize, friend, his life was never the same again. He said he would never be the same. Don't you understand why? Whenever Peter, James, and John saw Jesus caught up into that theophany cloud, don't you know their life was never the same again? When Brother Branham was carried up into that cloud of many witnesses, how would the God would help us tonight to realize there's more with us than there are with them. I wish God would help us to realize we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. We are going to win. The battle is already won by the grace of God. You're on the winning side. Hallelujah. Oh my. Let me close with this. He says, now if your father Abraham, who you're a child of through Christ, considered not his own body when it was dead, what about yours, which is alive this morning? See what I mean? And that was before Christ came. That was before any atonement was made. That was before the great cloud of witnesses was gone on. I wonder how many saints I've buried since I've been here at this church for 30 years. How many of them, their bodies is laying right here across the road. Laying over in Kingsport. Laying in Irwin, laying in different places. They're missing from our presence. But all they've done is joined that cloud. And if we could hear them tonight, praise God. They'd say, keep pressing the battle. Keep pressing the battle. Don't give up. Don't bend under the pressure, Brother Gene. Don't bow down. Oh, it's weary. Sure it is. But if we could hear him, Brother Dan, it's that cloud and their compassion. We've got more around us than any age ever had. Luther did not have the crowd when he stood before the Pope and them and said, here I stand. Wesley didn't have it when they run him down. Pentecost didn't have it, but think of the millions that's moved beyond the curtain of time. Every victorious disciple that has lived an overcoming life, and their life is there in the heavens saying, you can do it. You're bothered by smoking. How many are beyond the curtain of time that was bothered by smoking, but they ain't bothered no more? How many of them was bound by alcohol, but they not bound no more? And they are a testimony to you. If God could do it for them, he can do it for you. Hallelujah. Look what a disciple does. In that cloud tonight is Andrew. If we could hear Andrew speaking back to us, a happy valley. And you visitors, take up your cross. You can follow him. He'll give you strength. They led me outside the city one day when I'd preached the gospel. And they made a cross in the form of an X. And they tacked me to that cross. What about if we could hear Mark say, I was in Greece preaching the gospel. And the priest got so mad at me that they took a fuller's club. And they started beating on me and they beat my brains out of my body. On and on and on we could go. What are they? A cloud of witnesses. Praise be to God. Can you imagine Paul using such terminology? Well, why not? It's in the heavens. That is where we come from and that is where we go back to. And if I go before you all, I will be another water droplet in there. Hallelujah. If I had the ability to echo my voice from beyond the curtain of time, you'd hear me screaming, come on, Happy Valley, you can do it. Come on, Skip, you can do it. Come on, Brother Terry, you can do it. I'd be like a spectator up in the arena, knock thumbs down, tell them, I'd say, come on, Till, hang in there. Come on, Jim, come on, Jill, come on, Joy. You're able to do it. Come on, sister, you're on the last lap. The finish line is right in front of you. Saints. Peter would be saying, come on, saints. Hallelujah. You imagine the saints in this first century when they would read this and the Colosseum setting would come in their mind. At this time, and Paul wrote this, Christians are not being offered. But they were very familiar with the games. Now it was gladiators. Gladiators were condemned slaves. If you kill so many men, they'd give you your freedom. But you never knew when walking in there, you were trained for death. And you had no choice. Them gladiators walk in there, what a lonely, empty feeling it must have been. With thousands and thousands of people all around you. And you're there to entertain them. If your head gets cut off, you lose an arm, you lose an egg, an eye, whatever more, it's for the crowd's entertainment. And your opponent hits you in the gut with a sword. Or he comes over and hits your arm and your hand falls off. Yeah! And they'd stand to their feet and rah! But we're compassed about. We focus so much on darkness and so much on demons. We might have to realize there's a cloud around us too. Glory to God. The angels of the Lord are encamped about those that fear him. They're not there for your blood. They're not there when they see your enemy gouge you in the side or you lose an eye. Yeah. But they're there for you. You can do it. Amen. Young people, you can do it. Amen. Maybe for some of you young people, it would be one of Sister Symphrosa's children. Sister Symphrosa, which lived in the first century, which had 7 children. Holy Ghost-filled woman. Went to a message church full of the power of God, and persecution began to come against them. So they come, they kill the firstborn, the second, they crucify one, burn the other and all, take the other and cut his arms off, put another behind wild animals and let them pull one arm one way and one another. So they kill every child Sister Symphrosa had. Can you imagine her going to church on Sunday morning and standing up and saying, I'd like to testify. I want to say, God's good. God's good all the time. I want to thank him for his keeping power. Amen. What if one of them young boys could speak to you, one of you young boys that's struggling with this and that and the other? Maybe that voice and that cloud can come back and say, young man, you can overcome. They ran that spear right in my small intestine. And they worked it up to my large intestine. And they penetrated my stomach. And they went right into my liver. But I stood by the grace of God. You young sisters that struggle with the world and struggle with, I'm not sure I can do it. I'm not sure I can overcome. What about one of her daughters? What about many of those who died and gave their life? What are they now? Those people who killed them are in the regions of the lost. And those who are saved are another water particle in the cloud of witnesses. and their testimonies are still living tonight. Praise be to God. And you and I are compassed about in the arena of life. Here we are in the struggle, Brother Charlie, against sickness and against darkness and against the world. But we are surrounded not so much about the darkness, but voices of the multitudes. Press the battle. Press the battle. You can make it. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads together if you would. You're talking about a special honor for a departed saint. When God allows him not only to go into a theophany. We know when Brother Bram went beyond the curtain of time, he never saw Paul's people or Luther's people or Wesley's people. He saw his people. So apparently the sixth dimension has different divisions or segments or something in it. Even with the foolish virgin, when the foolish virgin dies, they go somewhere and they're held. But can you imagine when you're a saint, a disciple, you're added to the cloud. Praise God. Let people who've left this message make fun of the cloud all they want to. I ain't making fun of my daddy. That's who I am. And if I go this way by the way of the grave, I'll join back in that cloud too. Praise God. Your life continues on. Your body may be dead, but your life continues right on in the presence of God. How many wants to be a disciple? Not just saved, a disciple. You want to take your cross? Yes, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd take these simple things, Lord. Help each of us, Lord. The visitors in our gates, Lord, you know them, their needs, their desires. I pray you'd help each of us, Father. We don't want to just be saved. As Brother Ram told us in question and answers, the foolish virgin is saved, but they're rejected in being the bride. So a person can be saved and reject the fullness of the word, which produces the atonement they need to put them in the rapture. Lord, we don't want to just be saved. I'm not being a hoggish or nothing, but somehow I think I'm called to higher than just salvation. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I pray you to help us tonight. Minister to every heart, Lord. Praise God. You love him, children. Look this way just for a moment, would you? Again, let me read this scripture to you. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Look at this word witness, what it means. Martus. Martyr. Record. Historical sense. One who is an observer of anything. Of a contest. Satan wants to convince you you're all down here alone. And here you are in the middle of the Colosseum of life. You're fighting the demons and there's demons by the hordes all around you everywhere. He left out the upper levels of the Colosseum. Remember, it was under the spirit of Elijah that fell on Elisha that the servant got his eyes opened. It's part of the Elijah spirit to open up our eyes and help us to see there's more with us than there are with them. Satan wants you to look around and hear the screams and hear the vicious cries. And every time you make a mistake and they rally around your faults and they rally around your mistakes, he don't want you to see all them seats way up into the heavens that's right above them cheering for you. Imagine Brother Bram tells us in that maniac in Oregon, whenever he makes that challenge and he comes up and said, I'll kill you, I'll break every bone in your body. He said the chief of that tribe of demons made a challenge. And the Holy Ghost accepted that challenge. Glory. He said about that time everything in the building was healed. Lame started walking, crippled, all kinds of things. Except for the man who was laying closest to the prophet. You know why he wasn't delivered? He worshipped that spirit. Or he might have said, I want delivered, I want delivered, I want delivered. But by his actions, he didn't want delivered. And when you are toying with the spirit, whether it's alcohol, lust, lying, whatever it is, no matter what you say with your mouth, when you're toying with that thing, you are worshiping that devil. Oh my. Praise God. Oh my. Let me close sure enough. Brother Branham said, seeing we're compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Hebrews the 12th chapter, speaking the 11th there, where the great witnesses has done. You notice what Paul is doing? He's capping off chapter 12. What is chapter 11? All those great heroes of faith. Now he takes all those heroes of faith that he mentions and he congeals them and brings them all together. Praise God. And he identifies them as a cloud of witnesses. All them heroes of faith become a cloud of witnesses. And where are they? Gathered around you, saints, in the arena of life. Can we win? Will we overcome? We are more than conquerors. Oh, glory to God. We are more than a match. Thank you, Lord. And then verse 2. Here is the witnesses and their leader. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Endured the cross. God don't expect you to enjoy it. But he does want us to endure it. Amen. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. How many wants to? Oh, I know many of you Christians have been bearing your cross for years and years and years. And don't go out here not trying to figure out, well, what is my cross? Is my cross this? Or is my cross my red hair? I hate red hair. I hate freckles. Oh my goodness. Is my cross my wife? Or is my, look, God will make known to you your cross. Don't worry about that. If I was you, I'd spend more time praying, God help me to bear it instead of what it is. It'll be made known to you. Amen. Oh, children, let's not bear it with an attitude. Let's not bear it with a grievous attitude. But let's bear it like Isaac. We're going up to worship. Praise God. And I am coming back. With my cross, I go to worship. And when I come back, I'm coming back in a glorified body. Pick up your cross, follow Jesus. Let's sing together. How many loves the Lord with all your heart? Amen. Let's sing it together. Hey, let's just worship now just a little bit before we go. Certainly want to say we appreciate all of our visitors come in for the wedding. And we want to thank you for also coming into the great wedding, which we believe you're a part of. And if you haven't received your personal invitation yet, I'd like to invite you to the largest, greatest, most wonderful youth meeting that has ever been. No, I'm not talking about the Louisiana youth camp. I'm not talking about the Texas youth camp. I'm talking about the heaven youth camp. Glory to God. Nobody will ever get old. Amen. There'll never be no gray hair, no tired body. We will all be about the same age and live forever and ever. Let's worship him together. Oh, praise God.
Take up your cross.
Let's sing it now, children.
Yeah.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you so much. Forgive us for asking for padded foam. Forgive us for wanting feathers on our cross. Forgive us for wanting padding as we want padding on our pews to set in. Forgive us, Lord God, for complaining and grumbling about our cross. Lord Jesus, may we as your people have a greater understanding, a greater view. Glory to God. May we look up from the arena. Oh, I get scared, Lord, when I walk out. It seems like I'm outnumbered. There's the Spartans. There's these guys who can fling the rope. There's the ones who can throw the net. They're professionals at it. Here's these demons that wrestle against Abraham, against Noah, against Lot. They wrestle against Brother Branham and hear me. Oh, God, I've got to face them same devils. My flesh may tremble and I may get weak, but help me to grab a hold of the sword on my side. May I look beyond the screaming voices of the demons. You'll never be able to make it. You're a failure to begin with. May I raise my eyes to a higher elevation. May I hear voices from another dimension. Glory to God. From that cloud of witnesses that are beckoning us on. Help us, Lord Jesus. Go with your people, Father. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. Service in the morning at 11. Let's come back again. Expect the Lord to speak to us. Enjoy His Word.
Amen.
Time together. We could be with the people of God. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. God bless you. Hey, let's sing this verse again. What are you doing for the King? God bless you. Go in the fear of the Lord as you go. Amen.
What are you doing for the King?
Yes, Lord.
Have you really given Him everything? To the one who gave His all for you. You. Don't you be satisfied just to know. Take up your cross.